Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, last week we spoke to mothers about mommy burnout when they are overextended in what they do for their children. Well, tonight we speak to the fathers. Is their burnout the same as the mothers? Well, my guests are Greg Ingram. He is a licensed clinical social worker and a married father of three, Christian Price, a single father with a 12-year-old son, and Stacey Jordan, married father of six children.
Yeah.
And co-host of WHUR's The Husbands. We will hear from the fathers tonight. We want to hear from you guys. If there is something you want to say, you want to get it off of your chest, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Guys, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Pleasure.
You know, I've always wanted to ask Stacey this. Are you out of your mind?
Yeah, man. Come on. Anybody who got more than four kids is crazy. Don't even ask. Yes, I'm out of my mind.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we're going to get to your foolishness and shenanigans in just a bit. Because you're still, I said, with six kids, you are still smiling. Mm. I want to talk a little bit about the definition of daddy burnout. Greg, how would you define it?
Well, burnout for most people is an overwhelming, persistent feeling of being overwhelmed with responsibility and accountability. Dad's burnout often comes from expectations not being recognized when we do right, when we do well, when we are accountable, when we come home, stay home, and accessible at home. Mm-hmm. So burnout for a lot of us is just simply a sense of being overwhelmed. And as the role of the father is redefined, and it appears to be redefined with every generation, we once had a role model, but now he's being confined for some other reasons.
Speaking of Mr. Bill.
Yeah. What do you mean?
That was the last time we had a national image of what a father should look like.
Bill Cosby. Yeah, right. Yeah, well, then there's that. But.
So now, from each generation, you know, it's one of those jobs that we often learn as we go, because often fatherhood comes before preparation. And as that, you learn and you take a little bit from granddad, you take a little bit from your frat brothers, you take a little bit from what you believe is the right thing to do. And often, you don't know whether you're doing it well until you get some reinforcement.
Mm. You know, last week when we were talking to the mothers, there was the conversation about doing the most, doing too much. In discussions and prepping for this show, the issue came up about women always seem to do the most for the children. I mean, I think that's probably in their DNA. That is part and parcel of what mothers do. Do you think, Christian, that daddy burnout is the same for men as it is for women?
It is definitely the same.
Why do you say that?
I mean, it's the reason. My mom is, and I came from a single mother. So experiencing and seeing her trauma, you know, it actually kind of morphed into my life from being a single father and then having to put on the mask of, you know, going to serve my country or going to work, you know, alpha personality or having that, you know, stereotype as a man, you know, to be able to, you know, the audio has to meet the visual, but also to be able to perform that when I'm off of,
absolutely,
you know, when I take off my uniform. Now I have to go home or, you know, have to see my child when that time is available. And now I have to still be that same person, that same exact, you know, stigma of who am I supposed to be representing myself as far as a man. And then one of the things that I started realizing is that, you know, I too would then cry or break down as if I saw what my mom was doing when she was, you know,
really?
when she was the single mother, you know, raising 3-4 kids by herself. So, you know, some of those stigmas and some of those things, you know, still transferred on over into my life, you know. So, yes, I would say yes, that is definitely an accurate statement on certain things, mm-hmm. but not all the time.
You know, and I think that's interesting because you spoke about the emotional burnout, because a lot of people assume that burnout refers to the physical, but there is an emotional component, particularly for fathers, whether they are married, whether mm-hmm. they're single fathers, about the stress of protecting, the stress of guiding, the worry, and that is not to in any way, shape, or form negate what the mothers are doing, but we're not talking about y'all tonight,
right?
You know, and I think that you know, every parent has a role to play in the life of their child, and there are times when you are physically there, whether you are on the phone, whether you're having these kinds of conversations, particularly when there may be an issue that you have to deal with over and over and over again, like a health issue, for example.
Yep. Oh yeah,
yep. and I think that comes with that. And, you know, Stacey, I kind of joke with you, but you have six. Boy, that wears me out just even thinking about it. Yep. Six children,
yep.
And you stay home with the children.
Well, I did for a long time. And you know, when you were talking about emotional burnout, the thing is, when we talk about burnout for men and women, there's some forms of burnout that we ascribe to women that men experience too. Because I'm telling you, when I was at home, with my kids, I had the same issues. You know, if you don't talk to an adult for like days. Yes, dude. Like, it started to mess with your mind. You start, you know, your inner voice is baby gibberish, man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then the feeling that the world is passing you by. So it's like, dude, what's going on with my career? Mm-hmm. You know, like that kind of stress. You know, that creates a form of burnout, because for me as an entrepreneur and trying to get things done, man. I had like three of my kids and four of them pull ups to diapers at the same time. So I've changed thousands in my life, man. Wow. You know, that diaper genie was full all the time.
So you have sleepy, droopy,
all of them. Yup.
Sneezy.
Yep. Happy, no big bad. Well, I got them all. I got them all.
What, you know, for you, did you, was there a point, you know, outside of, because again, I know we will hear, you know, some women say, okay, well, you had to change diapers, big whoop. But was there a time when you felt burnout? What was that like?
I think you said it. You were talking about the good doctor. You were saying that you're not appreciated for the time that you're there. So people didn't know. I wouldn't go out saying that, you know, I'm the primary caregiver to my kids, not even over shame for myself. Right. But I could see how some people would, you know, maybe view my wife a certain way because I was spending more time with the kids. And as a mother, she wanted to spend more time with the kids.
Right.
And, you know, I could see how that could make her feel a sense of guilt, because women go through that. And I didn't want to put that on this. So I never put it out there. But people not knowing that, they would approach me a certain way. Like, ooh, y'all got six kids. I hope you're helping her out. You had six kids. Ooh, that means you got seven, as if I'm another child. But the thing is, from sun up to sundown, and there was a time when my wife got back into school. Mm-hmm. And I would literally be, you know, I would not leave the house. Like, I wouldn't smell fresh air. The door stayed closed, you know. I would be in all of that time. And, you know, I would feel unappreciated. The crazy thing is, I figured this out. People will talk about me if I don't spend time with my kids. And they'll talk about me if I do spend time with my kids. And that did. That created a tremendous sense of burnout, because I felt like that I'm doing what I believe is right for my family, and people are still telling me, you know, that I'm not a good enough man and things like that. You know, a tremendous. And now after that's gone, you know, to have somebody say, oh, all you had to do was change diapers. That's still sort of another smack in the face.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tonight we're talking about daddy burnout. We spoke to the mothers last week. We're talking to the men tonight. If you are a father who is experiencing Daddy Burnout. I want to hear from you. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Greg, one of the things that Stacey said that I found really interesting is the issue about being appreciated. Mm-hmm. When you are seeing your clients, do the men talk about that?
Yes, and often it comes from not being reared in a way that love and affection was reinforced in the home. Mm. So now you find yourself in a marriage, you find yourself as a father, and you don't know whether to go in for the hug, you don't know when to spare the rod. There are times when you don't know when to tap out and give mom a break. Mm-hmm. And often, and I think the overarching pressure for us, especially men of color, is that we've been defined by people outside of our communities.
What do you mean
so
by that?
So there's the narrative. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, we lack the financial bandwidth to care for our children, but we continue to make children.
True support system.
Absolutely. Yep. Having the support system. Yep. Having that older brother to walk you through fatherhood, to kind of coach you. And then we have to be in a position to accept coaching, accept help.
Is it hard for men to accept help when it comes to addressing the raising up of a child?
Absolutely. And just as a matter of point, it's hard for men to accept help with just basic things in life.
Anything, right? So I don't need directions. Please.
So to step forward and say help places you in a vulnerable position.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being vulnerable, we've assigned to women. But often, we are some of the most vulnerable species on the earth.
Preach, brother.
Mm-hmm.
But we mask it with this sense of masculinity.
Yep.
But men cry too.
Yep.
You know, and men do come in and they do suffer from just life burnout.
Mm. Yeah, man.
You know, and they often want to talk about how my father left. Mm. You know, how there was no role model, how I had to figure this out for myself. Especially with the younger brothers, you know, they're becoming men by the age of 10, fathers sometimes by the age of 15 or 16.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And in this generation that, you know, with this technology, everything they believe they need to know is a click away.
Right.
That's
right.
So that intimate one-on-one conversation, that ability to look another man in the eye and say, hey, brother, you know, you could use some help in this area.
I can help you out with that. As growing up, you know, I was raised where, you know, I didn't really hug a male figure. You know, I didn't hear too many growing up, I'm proud of yous growing up, you know, so that, you know, some of those things started transitioning in my relationship with my son, you know, and to hear my son, you know, say to me like, hey, Dad, you know, you can tell me you're proud of me.
He was coaching you, I'm saying, you know.
Out of the mouth of
things. Right. and, you know, I mean, and in that relationship with my son, you know, I started, you know, I would feel like, you know, am I losing masculinity if I don't kiss my son?
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Because I didn't have that growing up.
Right.
You
right.
know, so I didn't experience that.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
So those behaviors led to those triggers in that relationship with my son where I didn't know how to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that trend, and that even also, you know, it also, you know, worked into my personal relationships with my friends. It was a good point in time growing up. You know, I wasn't hugging my friends.
Yeah, that's a relatively new thing.
You're right. Yeah.
You know,
I'm not going to just come and hug you. It's not happening. Yeah, it don't feel right.
But the dap has changed. And I will say, I mean, I saw my father last night. He's 82.
Oh, wow.
I hug and kiss my father every day that I see him.
Yeah.
You know, because because it's a blessing to, you know, to have them. But I also, you know, have a daughter who's, you know, here at Howard. She's going, I'm going to get on her nerves because I was talking about her on the air last night. I'm going to talk about you again, baby. I know you're not listening. You're studying. But,
Absolutely.
You know, I think that the only you know real burnout, because my daughter, and it's no secret, she's a type 1 diabetic, and that for me, for her mother, for the extended family, it has required all of us, and all of us in one way, shape, or form have felt a sense of burnout because it diabetes is such a difficult disease to chase and to manage. And I think that kind of thing has, you know, that does cause some burnout because you want your child to be healthy. Yeah, Let me go to the phone lines real quick. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about daddy burnout tonight. Will calling from Bowie. Will, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
You know, I just wanted to take the time to celebrate all of you men, because this topic is not talked about enough, is not celebrated enough. And, you know, I literally just dropped my kids off. My two girls, a five-year-old and a three-year-old.
Salute. Get it, Will.
Get it.
Yeah, that's trying to do it, man. And we have a five-year-old and a three-year-old. We're going out to date night. And, you know, so many fathers dropping their kids off. And I've one of the brothers said, man, you know, he just dropped down and cried before, was overwhelmed. And I've been in that position. I've cried and cried and you know, and found that vulnerability has led to, with my fellow brothers in my same situation, has really given me a lot of peace.
Right.
But we're still not celebrating, you know, we're still not celebrating. And my wife is, man, my wife is wonderful. I mean, she's a career woman. She's a grinder. That is my bride. I love her.
Yeah.
Is she listening, Will?
No, she's not. No, I'm
because you're kissing up pretty good.
Yeah, I'm about to say. Will's
trying to get points.
Date night.
It's
date night. You forgot beautiful and sexy. And she smells good.
But, Will, you know, thank you so much for...
I don't want to monopolize the time, man, because this subject is so dear to my heart, because particularly men of color, you know, from a percentage standpoint, we are more involved than any other race.
That's right.
In our kids' lives.
That's right.
And that's not celebrated. You know, what's celebrated is, or what's promoted rather, is the violence and the crime and you know, the lack of education and And we are highly involved in our kids' lives, and we aren't recognized. And so I just wanted, man, to call y'all and tell you thank you. I hope this is not the last time we do something like this.
We try to stay current and relevant, and we'll have a great time with your wife tonight. And, I mean, seriously, I really want you to, you know, because you said it's date night. You need that time together to re-energize and recharge. So thank you
Helps
so much.
Yeah.
I need to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to talk to Mark calling from D.C., Ray calling from Sea Pleasant. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. We're talking about daddy burnout. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. And don't forget, you can hear this and every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment in its entirety via podcast on WHUR.com. Just click on community to find the program you want to hear. So stay with us. Angela Stribling is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. But this discussion continues on SiriusXM, channel 141, in about 15 seconds.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about fathers and about daddy burnout. You may remember we spoke about this issue with the mothers last Friday, and we're talking with the fathers tonight. My guests are Greg Ingram. He is a licensed clinical social worker and a married father of three, Christian Price. He's a single father of a 12-year-old son. He's also an Army Master Sergeant.
Oh,
there you go. Didn't want to forget that. Thank you for your service. And Stacey Jordan, a married father of six children and co-host of WHUR's The Husbands. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Mark calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Mark. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
I'm doing just fine. Go right ahead.
I just want to say, man, you know, this, like the last call said, man, this is a great topic, man. Greg, you know, this is Mark from VHSDC. Man, I want to say holler at you, too. But I just want to say, man, hey, I'm a father of three. My wife has, we have one on the way. You know, and so, you know, my wife this year, I had got a promotion to a new job at DHS, and my wife started a new position. We were both blessed, you know. But you know, I became like this dad who's taking the kids to school, going to parent-teacher conferences. I mean, like they even with me right now. As I'm on the phone with you guys, we're coming from our Laurel. So,
thank you.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
So there was a point I wanted to mention. There was a point where in this year. Probably just a couple months ago, where I just felt overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I just like nobody is feeling me. And when you guys mentioned that, you know, that's why like I understood. I felt that like because like I couldn't talk to my wife and she understood. I talked to a couple brothers that said, "Hey, like you know, somebody could feel me." You know what I'm saying? Like because not that I wanted to cry, but I'm like wow, this is like I'm just like this lack, and nobody understands what's going on.
But let me ask Greg about this because this is really a very critical point. And before I picked up the phone with you, that was going to be, you know, my next question. What are some of the primary signs of daddy burnout? What does that look like?
Some of the signs that we're more familiar with, you're tired all the time, you become irritable, your frustration tolerance becomes lower. You forget things, hard to make decisions. You lose your sense of purpose. You find yourself unhappy more than 50% of the time. And often you can even daydream and regress back to days when you did not have children, you did not have those responsibilities.
Yeah.
And often you feel this loss of freedom.
Yeah.
Although we sign up for this job as fathers, husbands, and primary supports, it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
And often, you know, we have to take a step back and accept, hey, I'm overwhelmed. Reach out for help. Friend, counselor, confidant, whomever. But taking the first step in most critical things in our lives is the most important step.
Mm-hmm.
Just raising your hand and saying, hey, you know, I need a moment. You guys go ahead to the movie theater. You go to the grocery store. I'll catch up with you. But I need to sit for a second and just figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
Because the pressures in the home can be so overwhelming that you're unable to manage those pressures of life. So those things outside of our homes also need attention. But the most precious cargo is the people that we have in our homes.
Mm-hmm. Mark, thank you so much for giving us a call. We appreciate it. And you know, to a point that you just made, and I wanted to drill down a little bit on that, Greg. How do we know the difference between daddy burnout and life burnout? Are they just part and parcel of the same thing, or is there something that is specific to the daddy burnout as it relates to your children that may be different from the rest of life's burnout?
Yeah, and see, with daddy burnout, often we have a more vested sense of responsibility. These are young people who are dependent on us. We want to get it right. We want to guide them in a healthy way. We want to hold them accountable, but don't hurt them.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall a time when I was being fatherly and a little bit too much for my youngest son. Amir, and my wife tapped me on the shoulder, and she said, "Hey, he's just a boy.
Man.
Pull up.
Man.
Let him breathe."
Yeah.
You know, but I was trying to chisel this diamond.
Yeah.
And I was trying to make sure that he was fortified.
Right.
So he wouldn't take the arrows that I took.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was trying to help him with that suit of armor. But I needed my wife to step in and say, "Hey, you know, right now he can't breathe.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right,
allow
right.
him to grow.
Yeah. Right,
you know, allow right. him to have some space to make some mistakes.
Make mistakes."
And I think as you know, as we approach burnout, it is important to distinguish that we're not taking the worldly pressures and bringing them home to the household.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, to get back to your question, the father burnout is defined by that true sense of responsibility, that I am responsible for the care and the nurturing and often the provisions for these young people.
Yeah.
And but at the same time, we often get those provisions from the outside world. So it's a balance we have to manage.
You want to say something, Stacey?
You know, I was, you know, he was talking about burnout. What came into my mind is one way of dealing with burnout. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty honest with my kids. Like, I got a few teenagers now. And one of the things that I've tried.
And before you finish, run through girls, boys.
You going to make me remember all that?
Okay. Right.
You got a basketball
right,
team.
Right, exactly.
Nah, I got three boys and three girls. My oldest is 16, 16, 15, 14, 12, 11, and 8 are the ages. And
you all are done, right?
Man, don't make me answer that. No, listen. Every time I answer and say, yup, then we have another baby. So,
man.
No comment. You know. You see where my heart is.
That's the same comment.
Right. You see where my heart is.
I want to know where your wife's heart is. That's what I want to know.
Right. Yeah.
So go ahead. Mine, not his heart.
But since my kids are older, I found that one thing, being open with them about where I am. Now, not too much information. You know, my kids don't need to know everything. But I do have conversations, and I ask them questions about how you feel, you know, how does it feel when dad talks to you? Do you feel like you can talk to me? You know, in doing that, some of the questions that run through my mind, because mental, you know, what's running through your head causes. So I ask my kids questions and have conversations with them that sort of, you know, allow me to peek into their world and not be guessing about what's going on in their head. So, I asked them, "Hey, do you look at other people and think that their life is better than yours? You know, you went to your friend's house. They got a lot more rooms in there than we do. Right. You know, what do you think about that? Do you think your mom and dad aren't working as hard?" And then explaining that we are working very hard. You know, right. I know you may hear me and your mom fuss sometimes, but that doesn't mean that, you know, that we people disagree. That's, you know, in doing that, I found that actually relieves pressure from me. Because when they were younger, you know, I wasn't talking to them like that. And I didn't have anybody to talk to. I also have a group of friends who I'm more open with. And I think as I get older, I'm starting to realize the value of talking to somebody else.
Yes.
It relieves the burnout, man.
Yeah.
It absolutely relieves it.
One of the things that kind of touched me, you know, Christian, was, you know, Greg said, he described that moment where he had the blessing of a wife that he obviously listens to and respects,
right.
And said, "Okay," because that's the piece right there. She can say anything, you can go on, girl, but you didn't. But as a single father,
right,
without having a wife there when you're. Your son?
Yes.
So under those same circumstances, do you have to double think? Do you have to do some navel gazing? Do you have to be introspective?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything is in question. You know, everything is magnified. You know, it's just like the old saying goes, you can't introduce, you know, everybody to your, you know, to your partner or your
right.
significant
or
other.
Or vice versa.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I have to be mindful of what I say, whom I say it around, you know, because I never want to give my son off that perception, like, you know how the old saying, Papa was a rolling stone. Absolutely. You know what I mean? I want him to be able to see, you know, a depiction of, oh, this is what my father, this is the representation that I, you know, I should carry myself, you know, when I see my father. You know, he doesn't bring around women or anything like that. Or when, you know, when we had the co-parenting situation, you know, I never wanted my son to go back to my son's mother with a whole nother story painted, yeah, you know what I mean? Where yeah. it's like, you know, dad is not even really with me, or dad is doing this, and this.
Yeah.
And, you know, painting a whole nother picture. So, nah, that's a good point, though. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Ray, calling from Seat Pleasant. Mm. Ray, thanks for holding on. What's on your mind?
Man, I just want to tell you guys, I really appreciate this conversation. I've been a single dad now for about 8 years. I went through the custody battles. I've been through, you know, the numerous men in front of your children. And you guys were touching on a lot of that just a second ago, that it's very hard. And the burnout, a lot of times with some men, they have an outlet. They have a mother. But in my case, I had no one. You know, you don't have, you know, anyone you can drop them off to, and on and so forth. Mm. And, you know, there's no outlets for us brothers, you know, to have this type of diatribe and really get an opportunity to sit down and really talk. And I'm glad that y'all are doing this, because, you know, even now I'm going through things. You know, you have moms that, you know, really try to kill the dad because you are taking care of them. I've been an entrepreneur all my life, so my kids lived a great life, and the mother's life changed when we split.
Right.
So then all of a sudden I'm enemy number one, and they use it on the child that they can get away with. You know, in my situation, it was my daughter. It wasn't my son. Son loved me to death. Daughter couldn't stand me. Mm. You know, so it's a lot that men go through, and no one talks about it. They see me in stores with kids, and they see me, you know, at the amusement park, or I'm taking them to karate or golf practice, whatever it may be. And folks just think that, hey, you're just a dad doing it for a day. I'm like, no, this is my life every day, all
man,
day.
Say that, bro.
Salute.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. Well, Ray, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Tracy, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Tracy. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, how y'all doing, man?
I'm good.
What's going on, brother? Bruhs are calling in.
Yeah, I love that, man.
I always listen to you. And tonight, man, you struck a chord. I mean,
well, thank
everything you talk about is good, but tonight, you know, you struck a chord, and I was I called because, you know, like the young man said, I didn't have no uncles, no grandfathers, none of that. You know, my mother raised three boys.
Yeah.
I saw the struggle. And I was the youngest, so I got away with everything. You know? So now, you know, my father rolled out the house I live in.
Yeah.
I saw my father tell my mother, get out. Right. I watched her walk up the street. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
She came back, had boys. Father wrote a letter. My grandmother, look, come do something with these boys. you know, so I turn around. I have a daughter. Turn back around. I have a son. I'm in my late 40s. My son's 6 years old.
Wow.
Loving to death.
Yeah, right. It's a blessing.
I go pick him up from. I go pick him up from camp, and the lady comes to me. She was like, "That's your son?" I'm like, "Yeah." She's like, "Come on, I want to talk to you for a minute." So I'm like, "Oh man, what'd he do?" Out of school, you know, I'm thinking he didn't karate kick somebody, he done did something. So the lady tells me, she say, whatever you're doing at home, man, keep doing it, man. You
absolutely
have, your son is so polite, it's always thank you, yes ma'am, and you know this, that, and the third. And it made me feel some type of way, because I told myself I didn't want my son like I was. Right. But this lady, I don't know, just pulled me out the blue and told me, you know, and I'm like, damn, what I'm doing is, you know, keeping my son from what I experienced by being a father. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But we don't get no credit for it, man.
Tracy, thank you for that. But before I let you go, I wanted to talk about something, because here's the point that you make, and this is so... And this is the thing about fathers versus mothers. Mm. There have often been times when stories like the one that Tracy just told us that we hear, random strangers may give you a pat on the back for doing what you are supposed to do. And, you know, there's one half that says guys don't get any credit. The other half may be, do you need credit for doing what you were supposed to do? Mm-hmm. But I wonder, you know, as it relates to the mothers, I wonder, do the mothers get those same kinds of accolades from strangers? I don't think that I've ever heard of a mother having a stranger walk up and say, oh, your kids are really, you know, well-mannered, mm-hmm. because maybe that is expected mm-hmm. of them, and maybe that's part of the pressure. Am I off base here, Greg?
Or? Well, I've heard it both ways. Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen women admire other women for being great moms, having well-behaved children, being able to redirect the child, being accountable.
Oh, you mean redirect with the two? I didn't tell you.
but it's absolutely refreshing when someone can recognize the work you're doing.
Yeah.
Yep.
And often we don't recognize the work, and that, you know, and we don't pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
we don't give ourselves the attaboys. You know, mm-hmm. and it's yep. refreshing when someone else can step up.
Right.
You know, because people say all the time, he's a handsome kid, he looks just like you.
You know, the
visual cues.
Right.
But often, you know, it takes a little bit more than that because, once again, we've been labeled as being not the fathers that we can be.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I don't one of the things that make a big impact on me, and this is mm-hmm. this is for me and guys past my age, mm-hmm. when my children were really small, mm-hmm. you know, one of the greatest impacts of somebody speaking to me about my kids was an older brother.
Oh,
like an older black dude at the BJ's. Yeah. And this would happen on a regular basis. And he'll walk up to me and say, hey, bro, I see what you're doing. Keep at it. It didn't matter what anybody else said. Like, I think that, you know, you said that we've been labeled outside. And I'm like, you know what? Fine. Keep your labels outside.
Absolutely.
Because inside, if those of us who are inside start to talk to each other, we might be surprised about the results and how good it feels. I really don't need anybody else's validation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, a true thing in my life is that my father was always there. Mm. So I never needed another man to tell me how good and strong and smart mm-hmm. I was. My dad always did it. Mm-hmm. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Absolutely.
My father taught me how to be a dad, right? Yeah. But see, the confidence that I got from in-house, you know, it formed the way that I did things. I believe I'm a great dad.
Right.
You know, but not because I'm so smart. I literally say, okay, what would he do? What would my father do in this situation?
Well, hold
and,
that
and that's, and, you know, that's what I
grew up without a dad.
Mm-hmm.
So my thoughts or perception of being a father was off of familiarization coming from my mom growing mm-hmm. up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not to say that my friends or the military had influence on that, you know, but being, you know, disciplined and saying, you know, this is exactly how you do this, and this. But then somebody pulled me to the side, you know, a therapist was like, hey, you know, hey, Mr. Price, that's not how it is. You know, that's not a better, you should look at a different approach because sometimes you don't want your child to resent you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I had to step back and say, oh, okay. No, I'm not saying how the military taught you wasn't right.
Right.
This is for you, but you can't apply those same principles to a 5, 6, 7, 8
right now, you can. You know, they'd be afraid. Yeah, they'd be afraid of you.
You know, so I had to learn that, you know, that from not having a father, you know, I had to, you know, listen to my mother.
Yeah.
You know, I had to take, you know, I had to take some ownership within oneself. You know, and say, okay, I got to be accountable now. I got to step up to the plate. You know, I can't be watching all these movies and stuff like that because that's fiction right now. Mm-hmm. I need straight facts right now in regards to my life and in regards to how I'm going to provide and take care of my son. Mm-hmm. So, I reached out to a couple of good brothers and they showed me
the right way.
That's
it.
You know,
so the brothers, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Tracy, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Marilyn, calling from Bowie. Thanks for hanging on, Marilyn. What's on your mind?
Oh, thank you. Hello, gentlemen. You can hear me. I'm in my car.
Yeah, go right ahead.
topic. My situation doesn't require, I think, so much sympathy as a boot in the rear end. I've got to exercise tough love. I'm divorced, the father of one, a 29-year-old daughter who is working on a PhD.
Hey.
I've been paying since sophomore year of undergrad, master's, and now the PhD program. I was raised, I'm an only child raised in a two-parent house, so I watch. I have a strong sense of this is my duty as a dad, but it's kicking, starting to kick my ass right now. And for my daughter will, she says, I appreciate what you're doing, but Dad, this program is so stressful. I can't, if I went to work, I couldn't get through the program. So that's her side of the story. And so my thought is, I've got to make this easy for her. If it's the it's only more stress if she has to go out and do it, get a job in addition to trying to get through this program. Other people have said, man, she's a PhD candidate. You got to cut her loose. I've talked to financial planners who said, look, in fact, my financial planner says, I'll tell her for you. That's what he said. So I'm going to cut it loose here. Your comments, do I deserve sympathy or a kick in the ass?
let me just say, with my daughter who is graduating, she better, in May, with an undergraduate degree, you have my sympathies. Because I told her, this is it. Beyond this, you're on your own. But I will say that during this last, not just this last year, but all 4 years, that it is stressful. It is stressful for me. It is stressful for her. And during this home stretch, as stressful as it is for her, I feel the same way that you do, in that, you know, if I have to come up with yet one more $100 or one more $300 whatever, mm-hmm. I've got to do it. I mean, you know, like, you know, Marilyn, I would tell you, you heard that story about you guys saw the story about the lady who fell off the stripper pole last week.
Yeah.
I'm going to apply for her job because that's what I need to do. And so, yes, but there is that. So for you have one vote of sympathy, Greg.
I don't believe I'm in a position to kick you, but I would caution that a PhD program can be life-changing for anyone. And often I've witnessed people have what we call in the industry a mental break. And the stress related to that level of education and pursuit comes with a lot of expectation. So I would say listen, try to be supportive. The financial strain will be far less than the mental strain if she succumbs to those pressures. Mm. So, you know, stay as close as you can. Make the best choice you have to for your financial wherewithal. But don't forget, and I think we often forget, fathers, mothers, and within the community, kids have stress too.
Yes.
And I think we overlook that because they don't work for a living and they don't pay bills.
Yeah.
But the world still affects them.
Yeah,
and in the same manner in which they affect us.
Yeah.
We just can't read their tea leaves.
Right,
You know?
Marilyn, good luck to you, and hang in there. I only have a few minutes left, but I wanted to talk about outlets. Stacy, what have you done for an outlet when you felt the burnout, whether it was years ago or even moments now?
I think one of the best things is, and I mentioned it before, you know, is talking to other guys. You know, having a show here at WHUR, and we come together every week, and we like
Thursday night,
every Thursday
at 8:30 on
WHUR.com. Yes, check us out. Yes. You can get therapy too. So that's exactly what that is for me, man. That's my it really is my therapy.
Yeah.
It has pushed me to talk about things in my life that I, you know, I wasn't accustomed to talking about, and or I wouldn't open up that much. But talking to other guys, like, you know, and I don't really get, I'd be a real serious, hey, man, you know, I'm struggling to hold on. Like, sometimes, man, we just kicking it, and I just, like, I start talking, like, man, she is at me again. Like, is yours doing you like that, you know? And I'm halfway serious, you know, but I think in that time where it's, the stress is not, you know, a part of the environment, I can be free to be me. And have people who understand where I'm coming from and how I talk and how I relate, not take me too serious, but understand me enough to say, hey, but, you know, maybe look at it at a different way. I think that's the number one thing for me as far as relieving burnout, having other people to lean on.
Absolutely. I appreciate that.
What about you, Christian?
The military, you know, so I have to go to the gym. You know, I used to partake in basketball. But I started straying away from that and started looking at it from a coaching point of view. But from work and dealing with my son or dealing with just the nuances in life, I got to go to the gym. I go to the gym. That's my way to vent, let it out, exercise. And then after that, you know, then I'm a whole different person once I leave the gym.
Absolutely.
Yep. Well, what would you recommend, Greg, for those men who are looking for an outlet to the daddy burnout?
I would say get back to some of those things that you enjoyed prior to life becoming complicated. Mm-hmm. Whether it's the gym, whether it's simply going for a run, pick up a hobby, go work on your car, do some other healthy choices. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens, you build resentment over the years because you get away from those things and you feel like you've sacrificed this part of your life for the betterment of your children.
That is so
man,
true.
Boy, you're touching me right now, man. I'm getting,
you made me realize something messy. On me. That's true, man. Yeah, man. That's true.
But it's a valued investment. But also, just like being on the plane, what are you instructed to do?
Yeah.
When the oxygen mask drops?
Yeah, take care of yourself
first. Take care of yourself first. And often, you know, when we have this overwhelming sense of responsibility,
man,
we do let ourselves go.
Man,
and we do get out of touch with the things that we love.
Yeah.
And I think going back to the basics and finding and reconnecting with those small things would help you to appreciate your family and being a father a lot more.
Right.
You know, I recently reconnected with a friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in many, many years, and he's 53, and he has a 3-year-old son.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
53 with a 3-year-old son.
Hey. And
yeah.
Yeah, how about that? And, you know, we were talking, and I say this because this is, I think, one thing that we can do is also try to be there for other men.
Absolutely.
Because his parents are deceased. Mm-hmm. And so he does not have the role models present to bounce stuff off. And I said, look, I don't have the golden book of fatherhood, but if you want to bounce something off, unless you've got a son, mine's a daughter, but if you want to bounce stuff off of me without, you know, judgment, you know, you can run it by me.
Yeah.
But I always told them, you know, if I don't know, I don't know. But if I do know, I will, I'll definitely tell you, look, we're going to end it right there. But I want to thank all of you guys for coming in. I really appreciate it. Greg Ingram, Christian Price, Stacey Jordan. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you, brothers.
Anytime.
That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, February 28th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now, stay tuned for I Lift My Voice for the Future, a special Black History Month presentation from the Howard University Division of Fine Arts. Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.